This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
It's been 7 years since the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One has been released. Sony has recently released the PlayStation 5, and Microsoft has released the Xbox Series X consoles. Randolph Ramsey joins me to explain what makes these consoles unique and how to determine which console is best for you. Thanks for joining me, Randolph.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell me, what has been your impression so far with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and S?
Well, it's been both very exciting to finally have those consoles in my house. You know, it's been a long while coming. They've been talking about it for several years now. So it was great to finally get them in. You know, at the end of the day, it's usually all about the games, though. So I'm enjoying playing, you know, some of the new games that have come with, you know, both of these new consoles.
I was pretty excited with PlayStation 5 and the controller. Could you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, the new DualSense controllers on the PlayStation 5 are actually one of the best things about this next generation of consoles. You know, over and above all the performance stuff and how it looks on your TV. You know, like having these DualSense controllers in your hand and just how it actually feels makes it feel like you're playing a next generation game. They have this cool new technology in there, which is essentially haptic feedback. We've had that for a while, but they've really gone to an extra measure, these ones where, you know, it has different sensitivities depending on the game you're actually playing. So, you know, for example, I was playing Call of Duty last night, and the actual triggers that you use to fire off your weapons, those will give you different resistance and feedback depending on, you know, the type of gun that you have in game. So there's some really cool stuff that they're doing with that controller. I mean, in another game, Astro's Playroom that I was playing yesterday, every time you're stepping into an area with rain, for example, you feel your controller and it kind of feels like there's like raindrops that are falling inside it. So it's really amazing piece of technology that you can have in your hands right now.
Now, I'm a PlayStation person, which is why I knew about the controller. But was there anything new about Xbox's Series X or S, their controller?
Not really. Just in terms of ergonomics, I think the Xbox controller has always been pretty good to feel in the hand. So, you know, no huge, I think, surprises when it comes to the Xbox controllers there.
Now, what's the storage like for these consoles?
Well, the PlayStation 5, both versions of the PlayStation 5 both come with 825 gigabytes of storage. But really, once you actually factor in the space that they reserve for firmware updates, you're really getting just under 700 gigabytes of storage for each PlayStation console. The Xbox Series has two different consoles out there. The Series X has a terabyte of storage, but once again, if you know put aside the storage that they put aside for updates, you don't really has about 800 gigs. The Series S is the model that's a step down, and that only has 512 gigabytes of storage.
That's one terabyte is still a lot. I mean, 800 gigs is still a lot. I mean, that's a lot of games.
Yeah. It is, but that'll get chewed up, though, especially if you have one of the digital-only versions of the console. Games now are getting much, much bigger if you decide to download them. Like, I think, for example, Call of Duty, if you decide to download that entire thing, is about 130 gigs, so that could eat up, you know, a lot of your hard drive space very quickly.
So what games were released for PlayStation 5?
For PlayStation 5, the big games are really some of its exclusives. So there's Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is a sequel to the Marvel Spider-Man game that got released on a PlayStation 4 exclusively a couple of years ago. So this one follows the adventures of Miles Morales. And if anyone watched the Into the Spider-Verse movie from a couple of years back, you know, it's really focusing on, you know, this new Spider-Man. It also has Demon's Souls, which is a completely from the ground up remade version of the old classic Demon's Souls game. You know, for folks who love From Software, you know, they're the developers behind such hits as Bloodborne and most recently Sekiro. So it's one of those really hard, grueling action adventure games. So, you know, those are the two leading ones, I think, for the PlayStation 5 right now.
What about for the Xbox? Anything good on that one?
The Xbox, really, I think its main exclusive right now is a game called Yakuza Like a Dragon, which is, you know, the latest in the long line of Yakuza games. But really, I think the Xbox is, you know, more more focus on, you know, big third-party titles. So things like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, things like Watch Dogs Legion, you know, it doesn't have as strong a launch lineup, I guess, the PlayStation has right now. But I think the benefit that the Xbox has is it's really pushing its service called Game Pass. And Game Pass essentially is a service which is a subscription service, sort of like Netflix or Spotify, in which, you know, Xbox provides like a whole range of games, and you basically, for a monthly fee, have access to anything in its catalog.
You know, not doing that many exclusives, I'm kind of on the fence. Was that brave, or do you think like that was a really smart decision on their part, Xbox's?
I think it was a little bit of both, actually. So I think it's a little bit of strategy in which, you know, they want to build an ecosystem that, you know, goes beyond what exclusives you have on your platform. But I think it was also out of necessity. You know, I think PlayStation has done a much better job over the past few years of, you know, building a strong first-party group of developers and titles that, you know, have been able to sell, you know, millions of games. You know, Xbox, unfortunately, didn't have the same level of first-party studios that could make exclusives for its platform. It's really starting to change that now, though. So, you know, like Xbox's strategy over the last few years has been to buy, you know, studios completely. And its last big purchase was Bethesda. So, you know, the folks who make Wolfenstein and Doom and Fallout. So, you know, Xbox is slowly starting to get there when it comes to exclusivity. But as of right now, you know, they're trying to, you know, pin it more towards the ecosystem of Game Pass, in which, yeah, it is more of a Netflix-style, you know, all-you-can-eat gaming type of landscape.
Now, one of the things that has scared me, and this started with Xbox 360, the Red Ring of Death, mm-hmm. and I have been so hesitant to buy a console as soon as release. So is there any issues now? Because I've heard people say that there are cooling issues for both consoles. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it's probably smart to, you know, not go first full into a new generation of any new technology. Right now, there have been sort of like isolated reports of, you know, Xbox cooling issues, as you mentioned there. There's been isolated reports of, you know, the PlayStation, you know, wiping saves. If you put it into rest mode, there's been some isolated reports you know, the Xbox, you know, just intermittently shutting down and not booting up again. It's really hard, though, at this stage to say whether those are actually systemic and, you know, whether it's actually really widespread or whether, you know, just because, you know, both these consoles has just been released to the public and there's millions out there right now. People are experiencing it for the first time. You know, it's really hard to tell whether these problems, you know, are actually serious problems that will affect a lot of consoles or whether they're just, you know, sporadic instances that people don't need to worry about.
And it's sad. My soul hurts for these people. I remember being so excited for a new console, and it is so difficult to get another one. Because they just don't have any right now. So,
yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I think both Microsoft and Sony are quite happy. They've already sold through hundreds of thousands to millions of these consoles around the world. But, you know, the flip side is, yeah, like they're still unable to meet demand right now. You know, I know just, you know, personally that it took me a while to even get a pre-order for both the PlayStation and the Xbox. And I think there's still lots and lots of people who are in the same boat right now, you know, who are trying to get, you know, a new Xbox or a new PlayStation for Christmas and, you know, just aren't able to because of the supply is not there.
Now, I was a little curious. Do either consoles have backward compatibility?
They do. Both consoles have a level of backwards compatibility. The PlayStation 5 essentially is able to play any PlayStation 4 game that you may already have in your system. But, you know, I think there's a small list of a handful of PlayStation 4 games that aren't compatible. But the Xbox is really, you know, the one that has embraced backwards compatibility. So, you know, they've made it a mantra of theirs to support essentially any game in the Xbox ecosystem. So that means if you have games from the original Xbox from, you know, many, many years ago through the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One, all of those games should be playable and backwards compatible with the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S right now.
Oh, my God. I did not know that. I may turn into an Xbox fan.
Yes. It's technically, they have thousands of games available for the Xbox right now. And this is what I mean. You know, Xbox is really leaning into, you know, making this more of an ecosystem, you know, of games, as opposed to, you know, pinning, you know, a lot of their hopes on, you know, a couple of really big name titles that will draw a lot of people.
Now, why do you think that Sony and Microsoft decided to release digital versions of their consoles?
I think it's probably a couple of things. One, obviously, is price. You know, they wanted to get a console that was, you know, a lower price point out there for consumers. I mean, you know, anytime you can get the price down for a brand new console, obviously, you'll drive demand. I think there's also, speaking of demand, I think there's a big demand out there from consumers, you know, who only want a digital-only version. You know, I think the most recent figures from the games industry is showing more and more people are purely relying on the internet to download their games. I think it's about 60% to, you know, 70% of all game sales now are digital. So there's a big market of people out there who no longer need the disc drive and just want to have everything on a hard drive.
So are either multimedia, like can you play music on either console?
Yeah, both consoles are multimedia. I think specifically it's even part of their setup process. So when I was setting up my PlayStation last week, for example, you know, one of the first questions they ask is, do you want to download the Spotify app, the YouTube app, the Disney Plus app? So these consoles have been long trying to position themselves as the hub for your living room. So, you know, you can reasonably expect that, you know, anything that you would normally run through your smart TV, that these consoles will also be able to run.
So what is the cost for PlayStation 5's both versions and the same thing with Xbox Series X and S? What is the cost for those guys?
There's two different models for each one. The PlayStation 5, its main model, which has a Blu-ray disc in it, goes for $499. The PlayStation 5 that is digital only retails for $399. The Xbox is similarly priced as well. So the main Xbox, the Series X, retails for $499, and the Xbox Series S retails for $299.
Oh, that's not bad. I thought it would be a lot more, be honest with you.
And Xbox also has this thing where it essentially has a payment plan. It's called Xbox All Access, in which you can sign up through one of the big retailers and also through Xbox directly. And essentially, you will get the, like a mobile phone plan, you will get the Xbox for, I want to say, $20 or $30 a month. And you pay that off over 2 years, and that also gives you access to its all-you-can-eat games model. So, you know, it's a pretty good alternative if you want to get a new console underneath the Christmas tree this year and you don't have a lot of money to spend.
So for Microsoft and Sony, can we expect them to have any Christmas bundles?
I think bundling at this stage, especially since the consoles are brand new, I think bundling, you're not going to see many of those bundles that come specifically from the console manufacturers themselves. You may see some retailers, though, do it on their own, in which they'll try and bundle, you know, a game or a controller for a slightly discounted price. But, you know, I wouldn't expect anything official coming from PlayStation and Xbox around it.
Okay. What about any games? Will there be games released around Christmas?
Yeah, most of the big launch titles are actually already out right now. So, you know, Call of Duty was released last week. And I think that, you know, that was the biggest sort of like one, that is going to be available for both the Xbox and the PlayStation 5. There really is only one major title that is set to release between now and Christmas, and that's a game called Cyberpunk 2077. So that is scheduled to release, I think, in the second week of December.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one, to be honest with you.
that's going to be a big one. Yeah, I was just super bummed when they pushed that back.
Yeah, they did. And I was like, no, don't do this to me.
I'm still afraid they're going to push it back even more, you know?
So, oh, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. So when it comes to power, which system is more powerful and why do you think so?
I think the specs, the underneath the hood specs of both of these consoles, you know, there's some slight differences in it, but I think, you know, overall they kind of even out. Both can, you know, pump out, you know, native 4K, you know, both can run at a really high frame rate, both tout, you know, SSDs, which, you know, allow games to load faster, so everything just feels faster and more seamless. So I think from a raw horsepower point of view, You know, there isn't really much right now that separates the two consoles. You know, I really think it's more about the functionality that you have with each console. So, for example, Xbox has this really cool feature called Quick Resume, which basically means you can play a game and switch to the next one, maybe switch to another one after that. And then if you decide to switch back to the original game you played, it's still there. You don't need to reload it from the start and have to spend cycles, minutes, whatever it takes to actually get back to the point you were. It's practically instantaneous. So, you know, that's a really cool function that, you know, we've never had in consoles before. And it's something that the Xbox is doing and, you know, something that the, you know, the PlayStation isn't doing quite right now. So I think the way they're trying to differentiate themselves right now is through what they can do in game.
Well, Randolph, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
They can look at my website. It's www.gamespot.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.